Without fear, there's no need to be courageous. And without courage, there's no way to face or overcome or let go of the fear. Fear is an essential part of life. It's like you said, it's something that helps protect us. But there becomes a tipping point where the fear is maybe no longer protecting you and is now hindering you, preventing you from getting to where you need to go. And so at some point, that tipping point is when you have to say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. But that's not going to stop me from doing what I need to do. And that is courage.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This is the week of April 8th through the 14th. Hi, Gabriella.
Hey, Scott.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to your living room.
So, okay, yeah. Big exciting week, because this week we begin with the new moon solar eclipse in Aries, which, if that wasn't enough already, it is conjunct with Chiron, the wound, and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound. So this happens to start off the week, Monday, April 8th at 11:21 a.m. Pacific time. The sun, the moon, and Chiron will all be at 19 degrees. So we had, back on March 25th, was the full moon lunar eclipse in Libra. This is the new moon solar eclipse in Aries, the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram, Aries.
So can you explain the difference between the two?
Yes. So the full moon lunar eclipse, which happened back on March 25th, was the full moon. And when the moon is full, it is opposite the sun. So the moon is full, we're able to see this round, full-shaped moon, which is fully reflecting the light of the sun. In order for the moon to fully reflect the light of the sun, it has to be directly opposite the sun.
Right.
So the Earth gets in the way, gets in between the light of the sun and the moon, and eclipses the light of the sun. It eclipses the moon. So that's a lunar eclipse.
So another way to say that is that the Earth actually absorbs the light of the sun instead of the moon.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. It's cutting off that source of light. So, like, okay, if I'm standing here and somebody's shining a flashlight in my face, and you can fully see my face, but then you walk between me and the person shining the flashlight in my face,
then I'm absorbing the light.
And it's not shining on my face anymore.
Right.
You've eclipsed my face. But this is the new moon solar eclipse. So this is the new moon is when the moon is at the same degree in the same sign as the sun. So the full moon lunar eclipse, the sun was in Aries and the moon was in Libra. Libra and Aries are opposite each other. This new moon solar eclipse, the new moon happens when the moon passes the sun in the same sign that the sun is in. So it's literally catching, it's caught back up to the sun, and it's passing the sun, and it's beginning a new lunar cycle. But what is happening here is, from our vantage point on Earth, we are going to see in certain parts of the world, in the United States, you'll be able to see it. It goes from northeast down through Texas. Those are the parts where it's going to be completely blacked out. So the moon is going to get in between the sun and the Earth. So normally, you know, the sun's out during the day. It's like, wow, there's a sun. It's the whole sun. But on this day, the moon is going to cut between the sun and the Earth, and it's going to black out the sun.
So before it was the Earth that was in between, and now it's the moon.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. It's a little hard to visualize.
Is it?
For me. But I think I understand what you're saying.
So
I guess it helps me to think about which planet is in between in terms of...
The moon is in between the sun and the Earth.
Like the impact of like what that means, maybe energetically or symbolically. So we talked previously about what it was, what it might be like for the Earth to sort of be in between those opposite experiences, the mm-hmm. tension of the opposites between Libra and Aries. So this time it's the moon that's in between the sun and the Earth.
Yes.
But the moon and the sun, there's no longer that conflict. They're no longer in opposites.
No, they're conjunct.
Right.
They're conjunct.
So what does that mean?
Well, the new moon is planting the seeds of the coming harvest. So it's a new beginning. And when I think of the moon eclipsing the sun, it is like a baptism by fire. It's cleansing the energy of the moon. The moon represents the past, your roots, your upbringing, your childhood, the ones who raised and nurtured you, and your ancestors. The moon transiting through Aries is encouraging you to be self-loving, confident, courageous, and authentic with your emotions on an emotional level. So the fact that this is happening with Chiron, the wound, and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound, tells me that this is about healing your fears, your insecurities, and starting fresh.
It reminds me of when, if anyone's done a ritual like this, where you write down like what you're ready to let go of, and then you burn the paper.
Mm-hmm. It's similar to that. I see, this is where it gets a little complex and maybe somewhat convoluted, because the full moon is the release. That's typically when you want to be writing stuff down and releasing it. And that's what we were doing during the full moon lunar eclipse in Libra, was releasing any habitual patterns or relationship tendencies, frequencies that are no longer serving me in my relationships. That this is something that I've always done in my relationships, and I know why I did it. I did it because I did it to protect myself, because I was hurt by my father, my mother, my first girlfriend, all these, whatever it is, whatever your story is. And I recognize that behavior, though it protected me then, is hindering me now. And so I'm ready to release it. The new moon is more of setting the intentions, but at the same time, with the eclipse, some people may say, like, that is a good time to release. You're releasing any insecurities, fears, anxieties that are preventing you from being authentic. And in doing so, you want to set your intentions to be authentic, to be courageous. That it doesn't matter what people think about me. I love myself. I know that I'm doing the best that I can. And I'm going to continue to do the best that I can. And in doing the best that I can, I'm going to continue to try to be better each and every day. And one thing that's going to help me be better is by getting out of my own way. And I've been getting in my way because of fears that I have. I have fears about being the man or the woman, being the person that I want to be. This is about facing that and saying no more.
Yeah, to me that sounds like it's planting the seed, and it's also a release maybe happening simultaneously.
Yeah, sure.
Which maybe, I don't know, the energy of an eclipse seems to speed up processing. So maybe it is almost acting as a quick release, like you set the intention and then it moves more quickly than it would.
Totally. I love that example. You know, I just think of it visually of the eclipse. Like when you look and like when you see an eclipse, it's not like there's the sun and then it's black and then there's the sun again. It happens over time.
Right.
You start to see the sun turn into a crescent, just like the moon turns into a crescent when the earth is blocking the sun, just as it does every 28 days. You see how the moon goes from a crescent to half to three quarters, you know, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the relationship between the earth, the moon, and the sun. This is like the inverse of that, where the moon is turning the sun into a crescent. So as the moon is moving in to the light of the sun and starting to black it out, that's when you're releasing, releasing, releasing. And then it's completely black. And then as it starts to go the other direction and the sun starts getting brighter and brighter and brighter, that's when you're intending, 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 setting intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Okay.
And maybe that's why eclipses are so feel so intense, because you're living within a cycle, really an emotional cycle, when the moon's involved, within a much shorter period of time. So essentially, instead of the longer cycle from new moon to full moon and then full moon back to new moon, this eclipse is really bringing us through that cycle, but in a matter of minutes instead of a matter of days.
Maybe.
Right? Yeah,
interesting. That's an interesting way to look at it.
So it's accelerated.
It's kind of like hyper-drived, intense, you know, where you're releasing and setting intentions at the same time instead of waiting the 2 weeks in between, right?
Yeah, yeah, that kind of makes sense to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's whatever feels right to you. There is no right way, wrong way, you have to do it this way. It's how does it feel to you? There is powerful energy in eclipses because it's a reminder of the power of the cosmos. It's a reminder of the fact that here we are and we're seeing this kind of anomaly happening. It doesn't happen every day, every month, even every year.
So do you think it affects people more when they can see the eclipse?
I do. Because it's one of those things where you're like, wow. I don't, you know, right?
Yeah, and it affects their consciousness.
It affects their consciousness.
More,
we're
right.
All experiencing the energy of the eclipse, whether you actually see it or not. But when you see it, it affects you on a conscious level more strongly because it's not something you see every day. mm-hmm. where it gets dark in the middle of the day.
Right. That makes sense. So the primary emotion here, since it's the moon that's between the sun and the earth, the primary emotion that's being transformed, it sounds like, is fear, based on what you said, based on the Aries.
Fear, energy. Insecurities, mm-hmm. transforming that to courage, authenticity. Yes, especially with Chiron here. So what's at 19 degrees in your chart? In air signs, fire signs, or cardinal signs? This is where the new moon solar eclipse is occurring, conjunct with Chiron. It's powerful if you see it, but it's even more powerful if you have something at 19 degrees or near to 19 degrees in your chart in cardinal, fire, or air signs.
I think it's important to consider the role of fear. So I think we spend a lot of emphasis talking about not just we here, but I think collectively around sort of we have to get rid of our fear, we have to release our fear, and we certainly, it can be valuable to do so. But I think it's interesting to consider, especially in a therapeutic context, how did these fears that you might have keep you safe at one point or give you an illusion of safety? Mm. Because I would say safety, one way to look at safety is that it is an illusion, right? But as children, we develop ways of keeping ourselves safe to the best of our ability. And often that involves becoming fearful about either a part of ourselves or, you know, inner fears or more external fears, mm-hmm. like fear of something in our physical environment or fear of a person or a place, something like that. So part of what I think is valuable, if you feel like you have fear to let go of, is to recognize the way that it was keeping you safe mm-hmm. at one point, mm-hmm. that it did have value for you. Mm-hmm. That in that sense, most fears are rational. And of course, there are some, you know, it depends on maybe where the fear is coming from. If you're someone who relates to past lives, you might have a past life fear that you're reliving that might not seem rational. But I would say for most of us, we can sort of trace, like, for example, if you were bit by a dog as a child, you might be afraid of dogs, and that would be an example of a rational fear. Mm-hmm. So once you recognize the value that it had for you, you can then look at whether or not that fear is still serving you, whether or not it's still keeping you safe, or has it actually gotten to the point where it's holding you back from something? And I think that can help us recognize which of those fears to let go of in a really practical way.
I don't really even think of it as letting go of fear. I think of it as facing your fear and facing your insecurities. It's letting go sounds so easy.
Does it?
It does. Like, just open your hands and let it go. The light and the shadow of the Aries energy is courage and fear. They don't exist without each other. Without fear, there's no need to be courageous. And without courage, there's no way to face or overcome or let go of the fear. Fear is an essential part of life. It's like you said, it's something that helps protect us. But there becomes a tipping point where the fear is maybe no longer protecting you and is now hindering you, preventing you from getting to where you need to go. And so at some point, that tipping point is when you have to say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. But that's not going to stop me from doing what I need to do. And that is courage. And that's what this is about.
So I think we're both saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what you're saying is that the fear never goes away, but you access the courage anyway to move forward.
Like I think of, you see this, you hear professional athletes talk about this, or actors. I can remember hearing about Henry Fonda, Jane Fonda's dad, famous actor, would say that before he went on stage, every time he would throw up. He would get sick because he was terrified to go out on stage.
Wouldn't you say that's a letting go process, though, literally?
Yes. Yes. Totally.
That's why I think it's actually like the reality of what's happening is probably both of the things that we're saying.
Yes.
You have to surrender a part of yourself to have room for courage.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, it's not like you're extracting the fear like it's a surgery.
Right,
like it's this perfect thing that gets removed from you.
You learn to deal with it.
Right. You learn to coexist with it.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be some sort of surrender to the fear in order to move forward anyway.
Yes.
And I think the moving in that process of moving forward, there is inherently a letting go of some of the fear's control over your choices.
Mm, absolutely.
But maybe it is like a moving fear from the front burner to the back burner, something like that.
Yeah. It's interesting. It makes me think about this show I've been watching, Masters of the Air, about the 100th Airborne Division in World War II that flew these bombers into Germany. And there's a lot of fear. I mean, my God, you're flying
rightfully
a plane.
Rightfully so.
You're flying a plane into enemy territory. Like, you're literally flying, and you just see rockets coming up and exploding. They're trying to, like, blow up the planes. And then when the rockets stop and it's quiet, they know that the fighter planes are going to come, and they're going to start to try to shoot them down. But there's a different balance of fear. Like, there's this one scene where one of the main characters, like, who's the pilot, is flying this bomber. There's like 7 people on board. He's responsible for them. They've been shot multiple times, like the plane, the engines. There's only like maybe one out of the 4 engines that's still working. And the co-pilot's like, we got to bail out. We got to ditch this plane. Because he's afraid that if they don't, then the plane's going to crash and they're going to die. So they need to get out while they still can, because they're vulnerable right now. But the pilot, like, grabs the co-pilot and is like, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep flying. You know? He's like, I'm not going to spend the war in a German prison. So that's his fear. It's like two people that have two different fears are like going at each other. One is afraid that they're going to crash and die. The other person is afraid if they jump out of the plane, they're going to be in enemy territory, and then he's going to be in a prison for the next several years until the war is over, if he survives. So there's like this conflict over fears.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so he ends up, the plane ends up getting to its destination, barely. They barely make it, but they all survive. But it's intense, you know? It's like one man is using his fear of going to prison to encourage the other person to face their fear about the plane crashing, you know? So... yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's a lesson that we're all reaching for something else.
I think the question is what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What are your fears? What are your insecurities? And this new moon, solar eclipse, conjunct Chiron in Aries is highlighting that in a big way so that you can face your fears, see what they are, recognize your insecurities, and then through that develop the courage to get out there anyway, be yourself anyway.
It's interesting. I'm thinking of like one example in relationships. I'm sure most of us have heard about the concept of attachment theory.
What is that?
Which is essentially whatever quality of the attachment you had to your primary parental figure, which is usually the mother, defines the kind of attachment you have in not just romantic relationships, but that's typically the emphasis, but really friendships and other kinds of relationships too. So you can be securely attached, which means you had a healthy attachment to that primary parental figure. They were able to come and go. When they came back, you forgave them. When they left, you trusted that they would come back. Mm-hmm. That's a secure attachment. And then on either side of the secure attachment would be either anxious or avoidant. So an anxious attachment style would be more anxiously oriented towards your partner. So wanting more connection, wanting more from the partner. Versus an avoidant attachment would be someone who needs more space, who tends to feel sort of smothered by that much connection. So you can see how in both way and both extremes that the fear is activated, but it's a fear of something else. And so what happens often in relationships, especially romantic relationships, is exactly what you've described in some way in this movie, where people are attracted to one another who have an opposite attachment style. And of course, you could have...
they have opposite fears. One person is afraid that the other person's never going to come back, and the other person's afraid that...
they will come back.
They're not going to leave them alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's similar to the way that sort of like we talk a lot about the tension of the opposites, and, you know, oftentimes we seek opposite qualities in our partner that we don't have consciously in ourselves as a way of trying to achieve wholeness, like within the relationship. And this is an interesting example of that when it comes to attachment and fear.
Right. Yes.
So, of course, the anxious attachment person also has that avoidant fear, but it's made unconscious within them. It's suppressed. And then vice versa for the avoidant
person. So each person really has both fears, but only one is, they're only aware of one.
Or one is activated. Or conscious.
One is in their personality.
Mm-hmm.
The other is beneath the surface.
Right. It's interesting to consider with this transit, which of your fears are you working with? Knowing that we have conscious level fears and unconscious fears.
I think you're working with your conscious fears. That's why I ask, what are you afraid of? If you can't answer, then you're not conscious of it.
Right.
So I think it's important to be able to answer those questions. What am I afraid of? What are my insecurities? And what do I need to do to be more courageous in facing them or moving through them?
And then to take it a step further, so what you're consciously afraid of does have value. But from a psychotherapeutic perspective, you also want to consider, tell me if this is like too much, yeah, but we also want to consider, what is that fear defending against?
What do you mean by that? What is it protecting you from?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So what the defense is only valuable insofar as you can recognize what it's defending against, what it's protecting against.
Hmm.
So that anxious attachment person who's afraid, the fear is most likely the fear of being alone. So it's not really a fear that the partner will leave them. That's sort of the conscious level. The fear is that they'll be alone. And what would they have to face if they were alone? What would they have to face beneath the fear?
So, using that example, how is the fear helping them?
What is it protecting them against? Right. It might look like helping.
Could it be that if somebody has an anxious attachment and they're afraid that they're going to be left alone, the fear is protecting them from somebody who might leave them alone, who might abandon them? Or is that preventing them from being with anyone? Because they're too afraid to get close to somebody, because they're afraid if they get close and that person leaves, they won't be able to handle it.
I would say the anxious attachment is defending against something that they would have to face within their own system. I'm not sure we can make a blanket statement about what that is. For every anxious attachment person. But that desire to sort of overly attach is indicating that there's something within your own system that really you're afraid of. But it's getting sort of projected onto the relationship. I'm afraid of this person leaving me.
Well, and I think that's what this transit of the new moon solar eclipse conjunct Chiron is about. It's about self-reliance. It's about being able to rely on yourself. So if you're afraid that you're going to be left alone, you're also afraid that you can't take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this transit is about having confidence in yourself. So setting your intentions to be self-reliant, to be self-loving, and to be courageous in being yourself, courageous in being alone.
You could say that we all have an anxious attachment style with our smartphones or with technology, with social media. That could be one way that this is showing up.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it's not just relationally with other human beings. You can have an anxious attachment style with your pet.
Right.
With your cup of coffee. With, you know, you can anxiously orient towards any number of people, places, things. And to your point, it does bring you out of that recognition that the wholeness that you're looking for is really a wholeness within yourself, your own system.
As this new moon solar eclipse conjunct with Chiron in Aries is occurring, the planetary ruler of Aries, Mars, the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict, forms a conjunction, just as Venus did a few weeks ago, with Saturn, the god of wealth and time, the planet of restriction, responsibility, hard work, achievement, and authority, in the mutable water signs symbolized by the fish, Pisces. This is happening at 14 degrees, so take a look at your astrological code. What is near to 14 degrees in mutable water or earth signs? If you have anything at or around 14 degrees in mutable water or earth signs, it is making a strong alignment to the god of war and the god of wealth and time in Pisces. This transit is occurring from April 7th to the 12th. That's Sunday to Friday, so it's really kind of the whole week, with an exact conjunction occurring on Wednesday, April 10th. So I would think that this might be a transit that is something that you would be, that's kind of in your wheelhouse because it's happening in Pisces, the unconscious. We talked about a few weeks ago when Mars transited into Pisces, it's really churning up everything that exists beneath the surface. And Saturn is there bringing that unconscious into reality. So there's this action-oriented energy and then the energy of the real coming together in the unconscious.
Hmm.
And so, you know, you think about the fears, the insecurities that we've been talking about with the Aries energy, and then you have this, which is maybe going to help, even though it might not feel like it's helping because it might feel really uncomfortable, but it's going to help bring up those fears that exist beneath the surface in you to your conscious awareness. So yeah, it's just really interesting to me to think about the new moon solar eclipse happens on Monday, but this transit is happening all week. It just really feels like fears and insecurities that exist beneath the surface are coming to our conscious awareness. It's feeling real.
Well, it really speaks to, we had a bit of a dialogue about whether or not these are about facing conscious or unconscious fears. And it sounds like there are transits supporting our exploration of both.
Absolutely. Yes. And then as this is happening, around the same time, like in between this time, from Wednesday to Friday, April 10th to the 12th, so a little bit later in the week, with an exact aspect happening on Thursday, April 11th, is the Sun conjunct Mercury, the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination, which is transiting retrograde through Aries. So it's moving back past the Sun, but the other direction. Mercury past the Sun moving forward back on February 28th when we had that triple conjunction in Pisces with Saturn that we just talked about. The Sun and Mercury moved past Saturn, but Mercury moved past the Sun. So Mercury's been leading the Sun since then, but now Mercury is headed back the other direction, and the Sun's going to be in front of Mercury now until June 14th. That's when Mercury passes the Sun. That will be when the two of them are in Gemini, the sign that Mercury rules. But this is bringing about some more of that conscious awareness in terms of self-confidence, self-awareness. What did I say? You know, the retrograde, maybe you're looking back at things that you said and you realize that the way that I spoke, it was coming from a place of insecurity and fear. And now I have to reflect upon that in some way.
So there's sort of layers being stripped back, it sounds like, in a way that there could be a disorienting element to it. Like you might think that you knew what you were afraid of and then something else gets revealed, or some sort of relationship between the world of the seen and the world of the unseen that might need to be reconciled in some way.
It's also a time to slow down and take your time to look and see the connection between the known and the unknown because of the retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I got to take some time to really think about the words that I've chosen, the thoughts that I've had, the thoughts that I've expressed through verbal means.
Mm-hmm.
Is it truly reflective of the me that I want to be? If not, then how can I be more compassionate to myself? I mean, I think that's part of what the Mars conjunct Saturn in Pisces is about is about having that courage of compassion. Mm-hmm. It can courage to be compassionate with yourself, especially with this Mercury retrograde over the sun. It might be illuminating some things that have been said that you don't feel good about. Maybe you said them and you need to be more forgiving to yourself. Maybe somebody else said them and you need to be more forgiving to them, more empathetic of their experience.
Yeah, I wonder too if this might illuminate maybe where these patterns came from or how old these aspects of yourself are. Sometimes it can be helpful to think about developmentally, like how old is this part of me? How old is this fear, or how old is this fill in the blank, whatever the emotion is? And that can help us know which part of ourselves needs compassion. Is this me at 5 years old that's still activated because there was an incident or something? Or is this my adolescent self? Is this the part of me that was going through puberty and had a really hard time? Or is this from my late 20s? Is this from my Saturn return? You know, which part of you developmentally really needs the compassion? Can be an interesting
exploration.
Mm-hmm. It can also help you see where you might be like stunted in some way. Like, where are you sort of getting stuck developmentally? And what is it about that time in your life? Like, this opportunity of Mercury retrograde can be to go back and explore any part of your past. And sometimes it's really clear to us like what part that is, because maybe someone from our past comes back. So immediately you're back in 2005 or whatever time period that person is associated with. But other times, I think we have the choice to go back and look at this particular thing that's getting activated and what period of your life is that from.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So hopefully this week, you know, there is an opportunity for a lot of reflection and connection to different parts of yourself, whatever's coming up for you. Because things are being stirred up. Things are being stirred up so that you can reflect and still find that self-respect to move forward and be yourself in the best way possible. Should we do some questions?
Let's do some questions.
Okay.
Our first question comes from Shell X Beach. Speaking of Pisces, my partner has his Venus in my 12th house, trine my Mercury and Jupiter in the 7th. Is this why I find myself doubting his intentions?
Maybe. That's an interesting diagnosis, Shell X Beach. Thank you for the question. Always. His Venus in your 12th house, that's the goddess of love in the house of the unconscious. So in a sense, when you think about it like that, maybe it's that you're not conscious of his love for you. Trying your Mercury and Jupiter in the 7th, you know, but the fact that it's connecting to your Mercury and your Jupiter in the 7th in a trine, that's a supportive aspect. So, and the fact that Venus, his Venus, is aligning with your Mercury, even though his Venus is in the 12th house, it's aligning with your Mercury. So that would indicate that you are somewhat conscious of his love for you. The fact that his Venus is aligning with your Jupiter, I mean, these are the two luckiest planets. So that would indicate that there is good luck and fortune in this relationship. So, yeah, I don't know. It's tough to answer that question definitively without viewing the totality of both of your charts, but just with what you've shared with me, I would say that the doubting of his intentions would be Venus in the 12th house, his Venus in your 12th house, but the fact that it connects to your Mercury and Jupiter would say that there is awareness from your perspective.
I have sort of maybe a gut feeling to share. I think sometimes when partners have planets in our 12th house, well, I know I've learned from you, Scott, that that means that they can see our psychological baggage, right? They can see into a part of ourselves that's hard for us to see because it's our unconscious. And so sometimes I think we can feel suspicious of that, because when they can see that much of us, they have the opportunity to either use that for good. In simple terms, they can use it to help us or use it to hurt us. And I think sometimes that suspicion that you might be having, it might just indicate your awareness of that power, of your partner having that power.
Yes, yes, that he can see beneath the surface. With Venus, I feel like it's not about seeing beneath the surface, though. It's about, you know, feeling.
Sensing,
yes.
Which is a form of seeing.
Yes, true. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that's what you're feeling. It's almost like, you know, two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, using that knowledge to help or to hurt. You know, there's access to both. And maybe there's something there for you. If you can also feel yourself doubting his intentions, can you also notice the flip side of that coin as well? Because the other side of that reality is present too.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Cool.
Our next question comes from Jen's Tough 97. I'm a Pisces sun stellium with a Sag moon. My 27th birthday was on March 2nd, and due to my location in California, the moon was also in Sag. What does this lunar solar return mean if it's not a 19-year cycle?
Okay, awesome. Jen's Tough 97, thank you for the question. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Happy belated 27th birthday. So yes, I looked this up, and it wasn't your exact lunar return, because even though the moon was in Sagittarius for part of the day this past March 2nd, the part that the moon was in terms of Sagittarius, was not the part of Sagittarius that it was in when you were born. Because there's 30 degrees in the sign. I think when you were born, the moon was transiting between 10 degrees and maybe 25 degrees in Sagittarius, or 24 degrees. On this past March 2nd, it was transiting from like 0 to 9 degrees in Sagittarius. But, you know, regardless, like, what does it mean for you is it is still sort of a flavor of the frequency that you were born under. You were still experiencing somewhat of a lunar return near to your birthday. I mean, it actually probably happened the day after your birthday, but you tell me, what did it mean to you? Like, how did it feel? What was the day like for you on your 27th birthday? I imagine that it might have felt good. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have your lunar return near to your solar return, it's going to feel like you, which hopefully feels good.
Yeah, some sort of alignment with your identity and your emotional life.
Although with the Sag moon and the Pisces sun stellium, you know, that Sag moon can square all that Pisces. So maybe there is some challenge and discomfort on this past birthday. So I'm curious to hear.
Yeah, if you're inspired to share more, let us know.
Yes. Yes, thank you for the question. Thank you for listening. Wishing you all the best this week. Thank you, Gabriella.
Thank you, Scott.
And we'll see you next week.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you are interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. Music written by Ben Leinbach, from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog Lyman. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian, wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.